I guess Brenda was here before me, so good morning. I am new to this congregation. I have a greeter's tag. It says my name is Keppel Barath, and I'm a greeter here. So welcome. Welcome to service. This morning, we have a new person that's going to lead us in service. Her name is Reverend Melody Troll. She, unlike me, is an ordained minister with the Wesleyan Church. In fact, she had a church just west of Winchester. She has been ordained, I won't give her age away, but for a long number of years. So, Melody, welcome, welcome, and I hope you are okay with the order that we have of service. As I preach in the 17 churches that I preach in, every church is different, and it will be the same for her. Now, I'd like to invite my wife, Michelle, because she has to do a few announcements before we turn over the pulpit to your charge.
Hello. I wanted to remind everyone that today is the last day for donations to the MS ride. If you're donating by check or cash to me or Kep, but if you are donating online, there's basically not a limit. There's still, you can do that whenever. I also want to point out that the Doors Open event is this coming Saturday and Sunday, both days from 1 to 4. So I invite everyone to attend that. And for further information, Carol or Wes Libby or Anita Mack can help you out. Thank you.
We light the Christ candle to realize that Christ is here, and he's the one we worship, and he's the reason we get to worship. Okay, everyone hold up your little finger, this finger. Okay, you're all shining your lights for Jesus, okay? And we won't worry about it. We tried. Okay? I don't know if you stand or whatever when you say the call to worship, but it's responsive. Would you join me and stand in our call to worship? I will say the first lines, and you will say the second lines. Protect me, O God. I trust in you for safety.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord.
All the good things that I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are. I praise you, Lord, because you guide me, and in the night my conscience warns me. I am always aware of your presence, Lord. You are near, and nothing can shake me, not even candles that do not light. And so I am thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure because you protect me from the power of death. I have served you faithfully, and you will not abandon me to the world of the dead. Keep going. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Let's pray. God of yesterday, today, and forever, you are the God of every generation, and your love endures forever. You have protected us during difficult times, for your compassion is everlasting. You have shown us the path to truth and life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We give you thanks, O God, that you are always near. In this time of worship, we declare our love and loyalty to you and offer you our service in prayer, in praise, and in practice. This day and every day, our one true God, whom we know and love as Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 374, O Four 1,000 Tongues, to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Thank you.
confession should be on the screen. And we are going to say that together. Gracious and loving God, open our hearts so that we are able to admit to you the fullness of our lives, that which is beautiful and good, and that which is hurtful and hateful. We confess that we do not follow Jesus in all that we do. We love with condition. We judge and condemn. We cast the first stone and keep the logs in our own eyes. We do not turn to you as the source of our healing. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive our sin and empower us and service. Amen. Friends in Christ, know this. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. And I remind you of this surpassing grace. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. At this time, I would invite you to greet one another and pass the peace. It's so good you all move around and welcome one another. And it's good that the family of God is welcoming and that people don't come in and see just sour and want to leave again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time of worship. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here and you are working in our midst. As we turn to your word, open our eyes to see your truth. Help us not to take familiar passages for granted, but to know that you always have more for us. Open our ears to hear your still small voice. Open our hearts to experience your love in even deeper ways. And help us to be willing to say yes to you whenever you may choose. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Brenda, wherever you are. Oh, there's a hymn. Yes, there is. And we were supposed to sing that after you. Well, we're just going to sing now, okay? And the whole candle, I'll blame it all on the candle thing. But anyways, let's sing. My hope is built on nothing less. And then, Brenda, you can come because we've already prayed. And it doesn't matter how many times, God loves to hear the voice of his kids. come and read to us, please, out of God's word.
Good morning. I'm reading from Psalms 85, verses 8 to 13. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make a path for his steps. Then I'm going to be reading from Romans 10, verses 1 to 13. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them that they may be saved. For I can testify that they have zeal for God, but is not based on knowledge, not knowing the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own. They have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the accumulation of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness they come from faith says, do not say in your heart, you will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down. Or will you ascend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes at the heart leading to the righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth leading to the salvation. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Thank you, Brenda. So just to make sure we know that, you can leave it there, Dan, that Romans is in the New Testament. It said the Old Testament reading, but it's in the New Testament. We are actually going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14. Oh, am I doing another thing? Is there supposed to be a hymn? Yes, there's supposed to be a hymn. Okay, I'm getting you ready for Matthew 14. We're going to sing There Is a Redeemer, and then we're going to listen to God's word. Got to look at all sides of these bulletins. I have too many papers up here. Thank you, ladies.
Oh,
And I want to thank Dan, because I know that's a two-person job, and he's back there doing everything, and thank you so much. So now we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14. And but before we do that, we are just going to remember some of the backstory, okay? So Jesus had taken his disciples away for a quiet time to rest, to recuperate, to hear about all their missionary travels, and also to have some alone time after John the Baptist was killed. But the crowds followed Jesus everywhere, and they were there before they even, Jesus and his disciples, arrived. And Jesus saw all of them, and as always, he was moved with compassion. And there were over 5,000 men there, plus all the women and children. And he fed them all. And he used his disciples to make this miracle happen. They were the ones serving the fish and the bread. And then, when everything was done, Jesus sends the disciples away, says he's going to go off by himself and pray. And he dismisses the people, and he sends the disciples off on their journey by boat. And we're going to pick it up in your pew Bible at verse 22. Now, in the New Testament, I guess this means page 14, but if you go to the back quarter of your Bible, you find the New Testament, and Matthew is the first book. Okay? And so Matthew 14, and we're starting at verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And we know that being alone with his Father was the most important thing Jesus did. And it's the most important thing we can do too. When evening came, Jesus was there alone. But by this time, the boat with those disciples in it, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, we're not talking 7 a.m., we're talking like 4 a.m., he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on the water, and he was heading towards Jesus. But Peter noticed the strong wind and became frightened, and he was beginning to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now that verse 31, in the Passion Translation, it says, "What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win?" In Mark, Jesus says, "Don't yield to fear." How many times have we yielded to fear? I know I have a few times. When you're reading these stories in the scripture, don't just read them and go, "Oh yeah, Peter went out to Jesus and he was walking and then he saw the waves and then he started to sink and then he cried, 'Jesus, help me.'" No, like see it, feel it, put yourself in that place. Feel the waves already, you're already drenched. The boat has been rocking to and forth, and if you're like me, you would have already been seasick. And they're drenched. And I can imagine Peter clinging onto Jesus, just crying out, "Don't let go. Don't let go of me. Have you been in times like that? I can assure you that Jesus is never the one who lets go. We are creatures with short memories. It was only a few short hours before that the disciples had helped Jesus to feed all those people. Peter had spent time following Jesus around, but he still didn't know who he was. Peter learned more and more, and yet we see him slip time and time again, even to the point of denying he even knew Jesus after Jesus was arrested. Fear kept him from saying a word. We can tend to be the same. When life is going smoothly, normally, is Jesus your first thought and the one who is directing your steps? Or does our focus change only when the storms come? And they will come, they always do. Following Jesus does not guarantee a problem-free life. In fact, it will be the opposite. Jesus told us so himself. His power lives inside of us. What we see really depends on where our focus lies. So last weekend, our eldest son and his family were faced with a storm. They had gone to the States to visit my daughter-in-law's parents. And on their way back, so they'd been in Delaware, on their way back at 9 o'clock Saturday night, I get a phone call and he says, "Mom, the van's in trouble." They had made it to the southern tip of New York. This is 9 o'clock Saturday night. He said, if it had stopped 1 kilometer before this, we'd have been on the highway. If it had stopped 1 kilometer later, we'd have been on the highway. But right now, we're sitting in a parking lot in the Welcome Center. And Michael is not a mechanic. And he said, he's a musician and he's gorgeous. He's brilliant, but he's not a mechanic. And he said, I don't know what to do. But his wife said, get everyone you can praying. So I'm going through Facebook and I'm looking for all the little green dots of everyone who's online. And I see one, a friend. I only knew through my courses, which were years ago. I'd never met him outside of that time, and that was years. And so I saw his name and I knew that he and his wife were prayer warriors. And I messaged him and I said, Ron, my kids are at the Welcome Center at the south end of New York. Can you pray? He said, better than that. My wife and I are getting in the car and we're going. He lived 3 hours from where they were. It didn't stop them. They ran to Walmart, got some transmission fluid, which you can't apparently put in town and country vans, but he tried. And they went. And another friend that was in New York, a friend of Michael's, he and his dad heard about it and they came to sit with them. Now, they couldn't get that van going and they didn't want them staying in a parking lot overnight there. So between the two cars, they got them to the friend's house to sleep. The van is still somewhere in New York. And then this friend and his father drove them Sunday night to meet my husband in Gananoque at 9:30 at night on Sunday. And God led us to find one van, the one van we could find in Orleans Tuesday. And they will hopefully get it tomorrow because they're a family of six. Our friends didn't think about the cost or the time, but were available to be the hands and feet of Jesus. My family saw God's provision through others who knew Jesus. There came a time when Peter didn't just know about Jesus, but he knew him. And his life was never the same. He kept his focus on Jesus no matter what he was doing or where he was. It led him to preaching to crowds, letting God's power flow through him so that 3,000 came into the family that day. To heal so confident that the threatening Pharisees realized this uneducated man had been with Jesus. That's what I want said about me. It's what I want on my tombstone. She's been with Jesus, and she's there now. Hebrews 12 in the Passion Translation says, we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has been already marked out for us. We look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, Jesus endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and he now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 10, and I am going to read it from the Passion Translation, so hopefully if the words are up there, don't worry about it. I don't think he put them up there because I didn't tell him to, so. I'm going to start in verse 8. This is slightly different from your translation, but it's good to read God's word in a few different translations. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating in your chest and as near as the tongue in your mouth. And what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of the righteousness of God. And then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scriptures encourage us with these words: everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. Everyone who calls on the Lord's name will experience new life. But how can people call on him for help if they've not yet believed? And how can they believe in one they've not yet heard of? And how can they hear the message of life if there is no one there to proclaim it? And how can the message be proclaimed if messengers have yet to be sent? That's why the scriptures say, how welcome is the arrival of those proclaiming the joyful news of peace and of good things to come. Sadly, not everyone welcomes the good news. As Isaiah said, Lord, is there anyone who hears and believes our message? Faith, then, is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one, Jesus. He chose you. He desires you to be his. He did not leave Peter drowning, say, well, you blew it. You should have done better than that. He reached down and he pulled him out of those waves and put him safely back in the boat with him. He does not focus on our weaknesses and failures, and everyone here should be really happy about that, but on what we will be through his power and plans. And one of those plans he has for each of his family is found at the end of the book of Matthew 28. It says, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That means you have to know the book. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Now, a song from my youth, which I couldn't find in your book, it goes, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. The good news about Jesus is not something just for us to keep to ourselves. We must be his presence on this earth. He uses us in so many ways, if we are available, to be his hands and feet, his living spoken message to those around us. Some we may know and some we may not. And you might just do that through smiling at someone who's having a hard day at the grocery store, from not honking your horn at the person that's annoying you driving in front of you. There's so many ways to be his hands and his feet. Now, in just a minute, we're going to be saying the Apostles' Creed together. But we need to be sure, in what or in whom do you believe? Will your faith source pull you out of the angry waves? How big is your God? Is he big enough for the good times and the hard? Is he big enough that you can't help sharing him, who he is and what he's done? Has believing in him changed your life? And if not, I guarantee you he is waiting. Will you join me in reaffirming our faith in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. At this time, I believe we're going to receive the offering to further God's work. So if there are ushers, if they would come forward, please. Let's pray. Father, you are the giver of all good gifts. Everything we have comes from your hand and belongs to you. Help us to be people of open hands, to be generous, and know that as we give this portion back to you, our tithes and our offerings. Take it and use it to further your kingdom here and around the world. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we come to you with thanksgiving, for you are our Redeemer, Provider, and Sustainer. You transform our weary souls with your grace, your wisdom, and your love. You bless us each day with glimpses of resurrection and the promise of new life, in stories of kindness and perseverance during crisis. You use us to be bearers of your good news. Touch our hearts in surprising ways with all we have in Christ Jesus. Listening, God, we bring you now our prayers for others. Hear them in your tender mercy. We pray for people who are struggling with illness, loneliness, grief, or sadness. May each life be touched by the power of resurrection and new hope. We pray for countries and communities where it is not safe for people to live out their faith openly. May all people of faith be granted the freedom to praise without fear. We pray for people in the world who are victims of discrimination and acts of hatred and injustice. May your desire for justice be made known and lived out. We pray for this congregation and for all people who make up your church, forced to consider how to be faithful in difficult times. May we discover new ways to be your people in the world. We pray for our families, our friends, and for ourselves. May each of us know the power of your compassion and promise. And now, Lord, as we join together in your words, Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is We've a Story to Tell the Nations. God's plan is us. We need to be available. Sorry, Minna.
Story of truth and mercy, a story.
May God lead you to understand the depth of his love and the importance of your commission. May Christ's sacrifice and presence strengthen and encourage you on the journey. May the Holy Spirit fill your hearts with joy and generosity. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, descend upon you and dwell in your hearts this day and always.